Hey y'all, welcome to the Center of the Saint. I'm Melissa Bell.
And I'm Allison Kane.
And today, we have a question. Do you feel like God is social distancing from you?
I mean, really? That social distancing word has been used a lot lately. It's going to be new in the dictionary. But have you ever felt, a lot of Christians call it life in the desert. This time where you're feeling like you're praying to God, you're talking to God, you're reading God's word, but nothing's getting through. It's like there's a cement wall between you and heaven. You're not hearing from God. I mean, a lot of times people say this and it's like, what do you mean in the desert? Are you like at the beach? Is it sandy there? Is it hot?
When you said, you know, people say it's like a cement, it's a cement wall.
Yeah.
I wanted to be like a preacher and be like, the cement wall between you and God is your sin.
Oh my gosh. Girl, I would have thought you grew up Baptist with that one.
I did.
That
was good. I've watched a lot of videos. Thank you. I think we should make that part of our podcast.
That's awesome.
Repent.
Repent now. Well, so I love to define words. If y'all have been around long enough to know, I love looking up words in the dictionary. So I looked up the word desert. And it calls it an arid land with unusually sparse vegetation, where water is very limited and it's almost devoid of life. A wild, uninhabited, and uncultivated tract. A desolate or forbidding area.
So basically, you're hot, you're hungry, you're thirsty,
you're dehydrated,
and you're dirty.
And you don't want to go there on vacay.
Nah.
I mean, when you're picking places, you're definitely not going to book a ticket and head off to the desert for fun for your next vacation.
I mean, Arizona's nice. I've been there.
Yeah.
Not quite the same desert.
Well, I mean, Arizona is great when you're at the hotel by the pool, but not in the middle of the desert with
yeah.
those snakes.
Oh, see, I didn't go there. I just went to this cute little cactus park.
Oh, okay. Well, that would be nice, but that is not the desert.
Okay.
I mean,
is it the sand one where they're like, sand's blowing,
yes.
and choking on it.
And you like hallucinate and you think there's this big pool of water and you get there and you're like, oh, it's just sand. I don't know. I've never done that, but it's in the movies a lot.
It is in the movies. I'm thinking of Star Wars already. Always
yeah. Oh, yeah. I love Star Wars.
I don't.
Oh, I do. I'm a fan. I'm okay. A huge, huge fan. We have a family divided. Me and my son are all about it. And my husband and daughter, no way, man. They won't go, which is so weird, right?
No. It's not weird at all.
It's not that my husband isn't into it. He just didn't watch them growing up.
Oh, yeah. I get that. I thought you meant weird that they don't like it. Like, no.
Oh. Well, I just saw usually it would be like, you would think that my husband and my son would be big fans.
Yeah.
Instead of me and my son. But I love some Star Wars. I used to have the Princess Leia action figure and used to play with the Millennium Falcon and all that stuff.
Now, I do know what those things are.
And I was a Han Solo fan. Like,
I mean,
he was
way back when.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, okay, so the last one that I enjoyed was when I was much younger, and there were the little Ewoks.
Oh, they're so cute.
They are super cute.
Yeah, I do like an Ewok, too.
Wow.
Oh, wow. Anyways. What in the world was that about?
We are social distancing from our topic.
Yeah, exactly. Well, getting back to the topic. So when you are in the desert as a Christian, especially if, you know, you've had those kind of, they call them mountaintop experiences. Maybe when you first became a believer or you had a breakthrough with God, you feel so close to Him. Everything's so exciting. So when you hit that first moment where you are in the desert and you feel as if God is social distancing from you, it can really be stressful and a little scary. Like, oh my gosh, what's wrong? What am I doing wrong? Where's God? I'm a little confused.
Because like when you're in a relationship and someone stops talking to you,
yeah.
or you stop communicating, you're like, oh,
what
man,
happened?
I'm in trouble.
Yeah.
What
it's like
wrong?
God is ghosting you. To use a more modern term.
You go, girl.
It's never a good thing, right? And it can make you question your relationship with God and how far you've gotten. And it can almost, and it can sometimes make you question God himself. And so I've had a few times in my relate over the years where I have hit these desert spots. And one of the times I was really researching desert because I was like, this stinks. I was just like, I was super stressed the first time. So I was like, wow, I thought I was really getting somewhere. What has happened? He's totally disappeared.
You're like, hello, God, is this thing on? Hey.
Yes, that's exactly what it was like. And I was like, I hate this desert place all these Christians have been talking about.
Right.
But then as I read through some other scriptures, these are a few. Exodus 7:16 says, worship me in the desert, God says. And then it says, journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God. That's in Exodus 3:18. Hold a festival to me in the desert, Exodus 5:1. They looked toward the desert, and there was the glory of the Lord appearing in the cloud, in Exodus 16:10. And so I was like, okay, the desert can be a good place. It's a strange place. It's not the place I really want to be, but it's up to me to meet God there with an open mind and a trusting heart. And that is a time when I can sit back. And I think in my life, I'm always looking for God to be this huge person, this huge thing that is like taking care of me. And God, you're just so big. I just want you all over my life. And that is how I live my life. So when he shrinks to something smaller,
God doesn't really shrink.
He doesn't really, yeah. He's not a shrinky dink. But when he distances himself from me, he's just being quiet, maybe. He hasn't left me. He hasn't left our side. Let's clarify that. He never leaves you or forsakes you. He's never gone from your presence.
So I want to know what that looks like. So, like, help someone understand, because you have all the context in your mind. So help them understand what that looks like if you think that God is distancing from you. And how is this different from you just kind of being on autopilot? Like,
right. So imagine an illustration. If y'all could see me write on a whiteboard right now, usually in our lives, you draw this big circle and put God in it. You know, like, we're so hyped up on God. We're doing our Bible study. We're praising God. We're worshiping God. We feel him in our life. And we do kind of get on autopilot. And we're down there. We're still the same size. We don't really change. We're in a smaller, we should be. Always in a smaller circle, of course. But then when God is social distancing, I kind of imagine him, he's still there, but his little bubble shrinks. To not that he becomes smaller. Y'all just work with me, okay? His bubble shrinks. And so when he isn't taking up my whole page and being so in my face and in my heart and all that, I have to seek him deeper. It takes you to a different level in the desert. So I think when God draws us into the desert with him, he's still there, but he's a little farther ahead. And he's like, come on out, trust me. Just like he called the disciple out of the boat, come on out, trust me. It's a little scary out here. It's a little different. It may be a little quieter than you're used to, but we're going to learn something pretty cool out here. And it's going to be different than you've ever seen.
So maybe like on your journey, God's already taken a bigger step than you.
Yeah.
And he's like, we're going to take a big step now. Mm-hmm. So run your little feet over here and catch up.
Yeah. I think so. I mean, I think it's different for everyone, but I know that it can be a really disconcerting time. And oftentimes when people are in a stressful situation and they can't sense God, sometimes that is, we're so overwhelmed. And it's, God never leaves us. But I do think that sometimes he social distances to draw us closer to him.
Right. So, you know, if I'm praying about the same thing for 10 years,
mm-hmm.
and I don't see any change, then I'm thinking, hey, God, are you here?
Right.
What's going on?
I have some things like that.
Yeah.
I do.
Still praying about it.
Yeah. And we all have things like that right. In our life. That's God's timetable, even though I really like mine better sometimes.
Like, hey, make the whiteboard bigger, buddy. Can you see that?
Yeah. It's like, are you sure you don't want to go with my plan? Because it's pretty good.
Right.
I'm really thinking my plan is pretty darn awesome. I've thought it through. I've written it out. I have a spreadsheet on that. I think it's good, God. We should go with mine.
We know you got a bubble map in there somewhere.
Yeah, I can't explain why God holds back on some. I mean, only He knows the answer to that, right? But I do know, I may have mentioned before, my prayer wall, one side is praises and one is prayer requests. And I move those prayer requests, sticky notes, over to the praises so that when the ones that are still there and stay and stay and stay and it gets a little discouraging, then I can look over to all the things that He has tackled and He has been in the middle of. And it's just a reminder from Him, that little nudge, that little whisper in my heart, like, just keep trusting.
And that's how you worship Him in the desert.
Right.
You worship Him. I don't remember which, you know, where it is in the Bible, but you worship Him even in the middle of the strife or even in the middle of the desert because you know His character and you know who He is, what He has done before, not only for you, but, I mean, you can go all the way back to the Bible and, you know, Old Testament and see what He's been doing forever. And that is how you worship in the desert.
Yeah, it can really be a time of festival and praise and growth and worship. It's changing that, the way we look at it, you know. And He can bring us out of that thirst and that defeat and that death, you know, that we feel in that. And He, you know, God speaks to us in different ways, you know, prayer, and through scripture, through our messages that we hear at church and our circumstances. So let's not forget that last one, circumstances. You know, our circumstances can bring us to that desert place sometimes. Sometimes we've chosen those steps. Sometimes we haven't. Sometimes we just end up there and everything else is fine, but we just feel a distance between us and God for whatever reason. And if we can just open our hearts and let Him fill in the rest, I think
sometimes I could easily mistake God is not there because He's not saying what I want to say.
Oh, preach, girl.
Like, mm-hmm. God's not hearing me. Oh, He's hearing you. He's just saying no. Right. Well, He's just opposite of what you're thinking. And so then we can blame that on God and say, you know, a good God would allow X, Y, Z. Well, let me tell you something. A great God has better things planned for you.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I needed to hear that today. I like it.
I'm looking at this girl, y'all. She has a shirt on that says Binge Jesus. I love her.
Better than Netflix. Just saying. Yeah, I think that during those dry times, we learn to strive. I think we work harder. We dig deeper because it's not as easy. It, you know, we get into those habits that become routine, as we've talked about. And so it can begin to feel dry. And I think in those desert times when God feels farther away, we can use that to blaze a new trail to Jesus. You know, to dig deeper, to dig a deeper path to Him, to take a new way, to ask Him questions that we may not have considered when we were on a high with Him, when we felt like He was with us every single second of the day. You know, you get to know someone way more intimately when you're going through a struggle together.
Yeah, I mean, God is a God of the victories and the valleys, right?
Yes. I think we learn not to take Him for granted. That He, you know, that it's always this. Like, it's not always, just like our Christian life, it's not always sunshine and roses after you become a Christian. That is not what being a Christian means. It does not mean everything's great from here on out. It means everything will be great from heaven on out, but not from here on out. And so that's our relationship with God, right? It's a relationship. Relationships ebb and flow. So don't have a freak out moment. Just like in a marriage, you know, there's times when you could like just throw your husband on that bed and have a party.
Okay, there we go. It's Friday night.
You know, after 20 years of marriage, you still got that thing. You got those times, and then there's those peaks and valleys, and then other times you wake up and you're like, if he makes that noise with his throat one more time, you know, I am so annoyed. And so, you know, I'm just sharing the truth. So that we're in a relationship with him, with God too. And it is a marriage. The Bible describes it as a marriage.
You know, one of my favorite verses is Second Thessalonians 5. And it's actually three verses. And it says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And it was to give thanks in all circumstances. And I remember that I was just so frustrated that God was not answering this prayer that we're still talking about, that I'm still praying for, okay?
We will not give up, darn it.
I was so frustrated that he was not answering that prayer. And then I read that, and it was like, it changed my heart.
Wow.
Because I needed to start praising him.
In the storm.
In the storm. Praising him for what he will do, for what he might do, for what he has done. But he's still a good God, whether he's granting you your little wishes or not, right?
That's so true. I love Psalm 78:15. It said, he split the rocks in the desert and gave them water as abundant as the seas. Like, in the middle of the desert, God is big enough to create enough water in the desert for you. So why has he drawn you out there is what I would ask, right? And it doesn't have to be a bad thing. We see it at first as a bad and scary thing. So, you know, when is a time where you just felt, I mean, I know like those unanswered prayers, but just a time when you just felt like you just weren't as connected. So you were more like roommates instead of husband and wife.
Right. So what's interesting is I do, you know, ebb and flow with that.
Mm-hmm.
But normally I can go, well, you need to be in his word more. Well, you're not spending your time with him. Or you know, at first I would do Bible studies, but afraid to open the Bible because I didn't grow up in a church. I didn't grow up turning the pages of the Bible. I don't attend a church that goes front to back in the Bible. And so it was very intimidating for me. And so, you know, God was happy that I was doing this Bible studies. I was learning, I was getting into the Word. But just this year, I actually am reading the Bible from, you know, beginning to end. And so that was where God needed me to go next.
Right.
Because I, you know, you and I always talk, and I'm like, well, I'm not the Bible teacher, you are. I don't know the Word, you know the Word. And
well,
like,
I don't know by heart, but I've read it all from start to finish like, a few times. But
are you going to keep using that excuse, Melissa, or are you going to get the Bible out?
Oh, snap.
Right? So I was like, all right,
Sasha. He slapped you in the face with some truth.
He did.
Well, so I experienced this desert place. It was, we're in the summer now? What month are we? I don't know. I still have quarantine brain. I like lost a few months. So last summer, I was in this dry desert place with the Lord. And, you know, being in ministry, it's real easy to get like pumped up and have a new book. And you just like, he places something on your heart. And he had paused all that in my mind. And I was just really freaking out. Honestly, I was really stuck. I was like, I gotta jumpstart this baby again. I don't know what to do. And so sometimes you have to switch it up, right? And so for the first time, I did this online class through beadisciple.com. There's tons of classes you can take on there.
Sounds terrible, by the way.
It was awesome.
Was it?
Yeah. So this was like not like a real class. It was more like a photography meditative, Christian meditative class. It was awesome. And so she would give you like weekly assignments and you would go on these walks and you would take a picture and then you would write out, you know, kind of what God revealed to you. And I'm not kidding. Like it was just, God just knew that I needed a break from the computer and the research, the table with 10 books on it, doing research and all these translations and commentaries. I needed to be outside with him in his world, in his creation, looking for him, seeing him, being quiet with him, hearing that whisper, what are you teaching me through this butterfly that is on the side of the curb with my garbage? You know, like stuff like that. Like, that's deep, right? But he's everywhere teaching us, and it opened my eyes.
It's almost like learning another language.
It is.
Learning
a new
God's
path.
Word in another language.
Yes. A deeper level, a different path. In a different way, and now I can see that he was preparing me for a new path in ministry, like with this podcast, which I had also been pushing away, you know, because it seemed so scary and weird and different.
I do remember this time that you were going through this, and shortly thereafter, you and I did our retreat together.
Right, and we totally just jammed.
Yeah, because God was like...
Like, you're my strawberry jam to my peanut butter.
Oh, I love peanut butter.
You can be the peanut butter. I'll be the strawberry jam. But I learned to That's just one of the times where I've experienced. But it still, after all these years in a deep relationship with the Lord, is still a little scary to me. So ways out.
There it is. Yeah. So I'm like, what's
next? How do we get out? It's like switching it up. So just like you did. Like you decided to switch up how you and get out of a Bible study. Read the Bible chronologically. I would study the Bible. I've studied it a different way for over 5 years. So 1 year I read it chronologically. The other one I basically doodled through it like everybody else. The other one I did specific scriptures that I had chosen at the beginning of the year, and I would literally pull them out of a hat each week and dwell on them for the week. So you can do that. You can step outside and do a class. You can join a different small group. You can do a different format than you've ever done before, because it is interesting. Like I said, he draws you out into this desert place. And I don't know if he draws us out there or if we just find ourselves there.
We're like wandering.
Oh, crap. I've wandered out into the desert. Now, how do I get out? But he's always with us. Like, he's walking with us through the desert. And so I redefined. Y'all remember at the beginning I read the Webster's Online Dictionary. The arid land, desolate and forbidding area. So I redefined it. And I'm calling the desert a vast land with things that grow, including the bread of life, an area filled with living water, a wild and exciting area full of opportunities to gain knowledge and grow closer with our Father in heaven, an intimate and pleasant area. And so I'm trying to look at those desert places in my life in a different way than the world sees them, because that's how Jesus calls us. He's countercultural. He always has been. And that's how I'm trying to look at everything with him.
I love that. And so, you know, getting in the Bible, reminding yourselves the truth of God, what he has done, what he will do for you, and then claiming God's promises over your life, over your situation, over tomorrow, right?
Absolutely. And just keep praying. Keep conversations going with the Lord, and then tell a friend where you are. And ask them to come alongside and pray for you as you're in that desert place. Never, prayer's always the right answer, for sure. Well, we hope you're not in the desert right now, but if you are, we pray that this has helped you a little bit. We look forward to chatting with you next week on The Sinner and the Saint.